Revelation chapter 13. Revelation chapter 13. We've been in the book of Revelation, and we're not going to look at Revelations as a study tonight, but Revelation chapter 13, and then we're going to look at the Lamb. And so I want to just encourage you to take a Bible. If you don't have a Bible, we can get you one. So if you don't have one, let us know. Everybody's grabbing a Bible. Good. Revelation 13. Revelation 13 and verse 8. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb. So there's a book of life. It's called the Lamb's Book of Life. If your name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life on Judgment Day, you will go to hell. The way to have your name permanently recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life is to get saved. That's why we call it saved. All right? And so the Book of Life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Tonight, as we look at this communion and the Passover emblem from the Old Testament taken over into the New Testament and now called the Lord's Supper or the Lord's Table, communion, we are going to talk about the Lamb tonight, slain from the foundation of the world. I'm going to pray and we'll go on, and I'll ask if Jeff, if you could shut those doors there for me. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for opportunity to open the Bible to just read and understand and learn. I pray for every heart and mind and ears that they'll listen, and you'll guide my mouth. Help me to say what needs said tonight. Help us to walk out of here more educated, more right with you, more desiring to please and to do and to obey. Help us to understand the Lamb, we ask tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. In the very beginning, in Genesis, the book of Genesis, in the very beginning, Adam and Eve sinned. Don't know exactly what God used for clothes, but when Adam and Eve sinned, they knew immediately that they were naked, and so they tried to make themselves some sort of aprons out of fig leaves. God did not respect their man-made efforts of clothing, and he killed an animal and made them coats of skins. All right, and by the way, coats covers more than aprons do, and he covered up more of them than they did. Now, I can't say for sure what God killed, but since the very next thing you read in chapter 4 is that their son Abel offered a lamb as a sacrifice, my guess is that God killed lambs to make them coats. And I am only able to use my imagination, but I am sure that Adam and Eve were shocked and horrified to watch one of their pets. Okay, they lived in the beautiful Garden of Eden, and one of their innocent, loving, harmless pets were killed, and the skins taken off of that pet and made coats for them. Can you imagine the visual picture? I sinned, and that had to die. So then in chapter 4 of Genesis, the Bible says that Abel offered a sacrifice. And the Bible says in Genesis 4, verse 3 and 4, and in the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought the fruit of the ground, an offering unto the Lord. Cain was the older brother. Cain brought fruits from the ground, vegetation, efforts that he had worked hard to raise and produce. And he brought that as an offering to the Lord. But you can't get blood from a turnip. And so it says, and Abel, he also brought the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. The Bible says that in Hebrews, it says that Abel, even though he died, because Cain was so jealous, he killed Abel over that thing. The Bible says that Abel still speaks. His blood from the ground still speaks, and his testimony and what he did still speaks. Why? Because from the beginning, it has always been a lamb. And we read tonight, a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. The first lamb, even though the first one we read about in Genesis was the lamb that Abel offered as a sacrifice, according to Revelation, the first lamb is Jesus Christ, and he's the last lamb. And so tonight what we want to do is look to the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And out throughout the beginning and the Old Testament and all through the Bible, that is the theme. It says in Genesis chapter 22 that God told Abraham, in Genesis 22, verse 7 and 8, God told Abraham in chapter 22 to take his son and offer his son Isaac as a sacrifice and a burnt offering. He was testing Abraham. He really didn't want him to kill his son, but he was just testing him to see if Abraham would put God above even his loved child, his child that he loved so much. And of course, if you know the story, God stopped him from actually going through with it. But Abraham was serious, and Abraham met the obedience, met the command, and Abraham took the son and took the fire, the coals in some sort of a container, and the wood, and Isaac, the boy, said, "Father, I've got a question for you. I think we forgot something. We've got the wood, and we've got the fire, and you've got your knife, but we forgot to bring a lamb." In Genesis chapter 22 and verse 8, Abraham said, "My son, God will provide himself a lamb." By the way, Tyler, if you read it out of the ESV, it says, "God will provide for himself a lamb." No, it says in the King James, "God will provide himself a lamb." And there we have a picture of Jesus being the lamb. What happened in the story is that God stopped Abraham from killing Isaac on the altar. And then Abraham looked behind him and saw a ram, a male lamb, caught in the thicket. And you can just see the sweat on Isaac's forehead. And he wipes his brow as Dad takes the ram and puts it on the altar. And God provided a lamb, but God prophetically provided himself a lamb. And so we see again the picture of the lamb being our substitute, and Isaac standing there watching as that lamb was offered as the offering, knowing that it could have been him. And that's the picture for you and I, to understand that if it wasn't for Jesus, the Lamb of God, dying on the cross, it would be us. But he died in our place as our substitute. And so throughout the Old Testament, we see other... So you get to the book of Exodus, in chapter 12 of the book of Exodus, and you can turn there, and I'll just show you some things in the book of Exodus, chapter 12. I can't take the time to read every passage tonight. But Exodus chapter 12, verse 3, it says, "They shall take to them every man a lamb." And I love what it says in Exodus chapter 12, because it says, if your house isn't big enough for the lamb, invite some friends over. It never says, if the lamb isn't big enough for your house. The lamb's always big enough. I like that. That's just a little side note. But it says, "Take to them every man a lamb," in verse 7, "and they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper doorposts of the houses." You might have seen this in a movie where Moses told the people to put the blood on the sides of the door and on the top of the door. And by the way, blood dripping down from the top of the door and any blood that was splattered across the sides would have made a bloody cross right across their homes that night. And the Bible says that they were to put that on the side posts and upper posts of the houses, and wherein they shall eat it, verse 11. "And it is the Lord's Passover," verse 13. "And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt." That's where the Passover started. God was going to pass over them as long as they were hiding under the blood. As long as the blood of a lamb was on their doors, God would pass over them and not kill anyone inside that night. That's where the idea of Passover comes from. And you know when Passover is celebrated? The springtime, during what we call Easter. Why? Because Jesus was the Passover lamb. Now, in Isaiah chapter 53, the Bible talks of Jesus being the lamb, the sacrifice. And the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 53, verse number 3, "He was despised, rejected of men, a man of sorrows, according with grief." Verse 5, "But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." And so in Isaiah 53, it was prophesying Jesus would be the lamb that would be wounded for our transgressions. Then, when you get to the New Testament in John chapter number 1 and verse 29, Jesus is walking along the shore of Jordan, And there John the Baptist is baptizing people. And John looks up and sees Jesus in John chapter 1 and says, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." And so all of a sudden, on the scene, in living color for the first time, was the Lamb, who has already been slain in God's mind from the foundation of the earth, but was humanly there to die on the cross and to pay for sin. And John the Baptist declared it in chapter 1 of John 1:29, and also in verse 36 of John 1. And so by his stripes we are healed. And the Bible says, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Now, let me also have you turn to Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21. I want you to see something. This is something you got to know, because a lot of people don't know how to explain this. They don't know what to say about this. Matthew chapter 21, verse 12 and 13. Matthew chapter 21, verse 12. "And Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. And he said unto them, It is written, My house shall be called the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves." So here we see Jesus goes into the temple and he overthrows the money changers' tables, and he made a whip and he drives them out. Why? Because those people had taken the lamb sacrifice that was supposed to be offered and turned it into a money-making opportunity. And God says back in Isaiah chapter 1 and Isaiah 66, "I am sick of your animal sacrifices. It means nothing. You've totally ruined the point. It's kind of like, I'm sick of your Thanksgiving celebration because it has nothing to do with thanksgiving to God. I'm sick of your Christmas celebration because it has everything to do with Santa baby and nothing to do with the real meaning of Christmas." God's saying the same thing to this country that he's saying to the people of Israel. We're no better. And what he did that night is he took this money changers and he threw them over and said, "You people are stinking hypocrites. This isn't what the animal sacrifice is supposed to be. It's supposed to represent the lamb dying for sin." Jesus got angry because they weren't worshiping the lamb anymore. And the leaders were turning it into a money-making opportunity. It was wicked. Look at Luke chapter 19, verse 41. Luke chapter 19, 41. "And when he's come near, he beheld the city and wept over it." Verse 42, "saying, If thou hast known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. For the day shall come upon thee, that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee, and compass thee around, and keep thee in every side, and shall lay thee even with the ground, and thy children within thee. And they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation." So he just says, don't you know that pretty soon your entire city is going to be destroyed? And then you know what he did next? Verse 45, "And he went into the temple and began to cast out them that sold therein, and them that bought, saying unto them, It is written, My house is the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves." Why? Because they were selling animals. They were getting them, they were making up a new system where you wouldn't raise your animal, the innocent lamb, like Adam and Eve I talked about, but you're going to just buy a lamb that means nothing to you, and then and pay these guys, and they would make money off of the Lamb of God. Jesus was angry with what they were doing, and he overthrew it. Why? Because the Bible teaches that we're redeemed by the blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. And we need to recognize the importance of the Lamb of God and the blood of the Lamb being the atonement for our sin, the precious blood of Christ. And so tonight, if you're not right with the Lord, if you're not right with the Lamb, please do not participate in this communion. Watch it, but don't participate until you are right with the Lord, until you have been saved, or have been saved and then gotten baptized because you know you need to, or saved, baptized, but maybe you haven't joined the church or been where you ought to be. And make sure you're right with the Lord, because we'll talk about more about this in a minute, but because the Bible says that. And so tonight, this is an examination on our part, and it's a reflection of our souls before God. Now, when Jesus died on the cross, it was exactly the time of the Passover. As a matter of fact, just as they were going into the Holy of Holies and preparing the blood for going into the Holy of Holies with the blood of an animal sacrifice. Jesus cried out from the cross, "It is finished." And we cried out, "It is finished." The veil ripped in two from the top to the bottom. And it was as if God was telling the people, the priests in the temple, "Your Old Testament system is done. And these Old Testament animal sacrifices are ceased," as it says in Daniel 9. He caused the sacrifice and oblations to cease when he died on the cross. Tonight, we have a communion service tonight, but we do not have an animal sacrifice. As a matter of fact, anywhere in the world where they're doing animal sacrifices, it's sinful. It's of the devil. Because the Lamb of God became the substitute even for the animals. I mean, the animals are rejoicing that he died on the cross because they no longer are supposed to be sacrificed either. And the veil ripped in two to declare it. God no longer wants these animal sacrifices. Hebrews chapter 10 says, neither by the blood of bulls and goats, chapter 9, neither by the blood of bulls and goats, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place. So they couldn't possibly understand, but if you look at Luke chapter 22, they couldn't possibly understand everything that was happening. But they knew the Old Testament. They knew the lamb sacrifice system. Remember, the disciples of Jesus were so used to a lamb being the atonement every year. Every year they knew that a lamb was to be slaughtered. By the way, they're still slaughtering animals in certain parts of our world. The people who rejected Jesus Christ, the Jewish people, they still slaughter animals. In New York City, they slaughter chickens on the street. Right here in America. Over in the Middle East, they have slaughterhouses. And they slaughter animals over there. There's still killing going on of animals. Why? Because they've rejected Jesus Christ as the Lamb of God. But this night, the Last Supper, as it's sometimes called, Jesus was going to finish the Old Testament Passover system, and he was going to become the Passover, Christ our Passover, sacrificed for us. In Luke chapter 22 and verse 13, and they went and found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. So notice the time, the timing here. And when the hour was come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, with desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave it unto them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament of my blood, which is shed for you. And so tonight he did that night he did something very unusual, something they had never heard of before. He said, as he took the bread and he broke it, and we have in these plates little broken pieces of bread, and he took the bread and he broke it, and he said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Now Jesus was not saying that this turns into my actual flesh, but rather this is an emblem, a symbol of my body being broken for you. I know the Catholic Church teaches that somehow when the priest says his hocus pocus, whatever he says, that the bread is supposed to, the wafer is supposed to actually turn into Jesus' body. That's not, we're not cannibals. We don't think that. That's not even in the Bible. He also said, this cup is the New Testament represented in my blood. And that's what we have here. And we don't have any alcohol because the bread had no yeast in it. It was unleavened bread. It was Passover bread. So we certainly wouldn't have any yeast in the cup. And it is the fruit of the vine. It is pure grape juice. And we like to use Welch's because John Welch invented the recipe that he had learned from his church. They used to make grape juice for their communion. And so we just use the pure blood of the vine, the blood of the grape, for our communion service. No alcohol involved whatsoever. Why? Because they were representing the precious blood of the Lamb. So then later on, Paul was talking to the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, this is what Paul said. Verse 23, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come." And so that's exactly what we're doing tonight. As a matter of fact, what we're doing is we're looking back at the death of Christ on the cross. I was talking to someone today and I was telling them, look, Jesus died on the cross, but Jesus isn't still dead. That's the only person that you can say that about. Everybody else that died is still dead. They're in heaven, but they're still dead. Now, Jesus died, but he came back to life in a body on this earth. Nobody else did that and still, you know, and then left the earth alive. Jesus died and rose again. So when we talk to the Lord, we're talking to a living Savior. The song says, I serve a living and a risen Savior. And so we're representing and remembering Jesus who died, but Jesus who is coming again. I wish Ronald Reagan could come back. I do. But he's not going to. But one day Jesus is coming back. And I can't even talk to Ronald and complain to him what's going on. But I can talk to the Lord, because he's a living Savior. And he's coming back. He's returning. And that's why it says, you do show the Lord's death with the blood and the broken body till he come. Not because that's all we can do. No, he's coming back. So you know how often we need to do this? Until he comes back. Until he returns. And then it says in verse 27, wherefore whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. So do not participate in this tonight if you're not ready yet. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. So you know why we do this? We do this for several reasons. We do this, first of all, because he said to. This do. And so everyone should do it. Secondly, we do it because it is a time of remembering and memorializing what he's done. And I can't think of a better time than Thanksgiving to give thanks for what he has done. I mean, this is the reason. You know, in our house, we have Thanksgiving plaques all over the house all the time, not just in November. Because we should always be giving thanks and remembering what he's done and how he died for us and how his body was broken for us and how the blood was shed and the stripes on his back were made for us. And so it's a time of memorial, but it's also a time of looking ahead, because he's coming again. He is returning. Jesus is coming again. And so it is a time of looking forward because he is coming. Now, it's also a time for us to say, you know what, I'm not right with the Lord. And by the way, and I know some of you have seen this, we don't do this every Sunday. It doesn't say in the Bible you're supposed to do it every Sunday. You know why we don't do it every Sunday? Because what happens when you do it every Sunday? It's just, yeah. It's not special. It needs to be a holiday, a holy day. It needs to be a special time. And so, as often as you would, but not too often. I like to do it at Thanksgiving. I like to do it at Easter. Sometimes we'll do it around Christmas. And sometimes we'll just randomly do it. But it needs to be done infrequently enough that when it's done, it's special and it's a time of memorial. And it's a time of reflection, to look inwardly. Because it says, let a man or a woman examine himself before you participate. Let's say you're saved, but you just don't want to get baptized. Whatever reason, I don't know. Or maybe you got saved, you're truly saved, but your baptism was a baby baptism or some other kind of a baptism, and you just haven't gone forward with the right kind of baptism. Do that first. You say, why do you say that, Pastor? Well, do you think this is for everybody? I don't think anybody does. If Olive Custer came here tonight, should Olive Custer participate in this? Well, understand something. The reason why they shouldn't is because not Olive Custer is saved, not Olive Custer is right with God, and we have no other choice but to tell people, hey, you've got to be right with God to participate in this. Remember, as we're reading in Corinthians, this was literally, if you go back to the first page of Corinthians, it's given to the church, the local church in Corinth. And the concept here is local church. In other words, it's to be given to a local assembly. Whenever we have people visiting from out of town, I always say, if you are a member with another church somewhere else and you're right with the Lord, you may participate, but if you're not, you might want to think through this and maybe ask yourself some questions. I remember about a year and a half ago, a young man was sitting through our communion service, and I was telling them that, you know, this idea of examining yourself comes first. And that young man said, you know what, I'm not saved. And after church on communion night, he got saved. Well, that's because we made an emphasis of why it's important. I mean, I could have said, oh, I don't want to embarrass him, or I don't want to make him feel bad, so let's just include him too. No, that cheapens who? That cheapens the lamb. And so we examine ourselves, and we take a close look at, what does God want? What does God expect of me? And even if you were to walk out of a communion service not having participated, but having learned something, it was worth it. So there's a lot of reasons why we do this. It comes from the Old Testament Passover system, but it is not a Passover meal. It is Christ, our Passover. It is a New Testament, New Covenant, Christ, our Passover. It is not a Jewish Seder. It is now Christ, our Passover, who is sacrificed for us. And it started with Christ and it ends with Christ. He is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And so with that, we go back to Revelation. Revelation chapter 1. First of all, I have a question for you concerning the Lamb. Revelation chapter 1, verse 5. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. You're not saved unless you are washed by the blood of the Lamb. Now, that doesn't mean that we have a tank of lamb's blood somewhere. All right? We didn't baptize anybody in lamb's blood. We never do. But spiritually speaking, it was the blood of Christ that washes away our sin. Nothing but the blood can wash away our sin. And so we all recognize that the cleansing and the forgiveness of sin comes through the blood of the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ. Then Revelation chapter 12 and verse 11. The Bible says in Revelation 12 and verse 11, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. Overcame who? Well, if you read verse 9 and 10, Satan. How do you overcome Satan? By the blood of the Lamb. The blood of the Lamb is what gives me victory and what makes me an overcomer. The precious blood of Christ. I am a sinner. Everyone in this room are sinners. None of us, you say, Pastor, you read that back there in Corinthians about unworthily. I just don't feel worthy. Hey, none of us are worthy. But unworthily is different than worthy. Unworthily is different than unworthy. Nobody is worthy. But unworthily is a little bit different. It's knowing better and not being right with the Lord in a certain area. You might be saved and still could not be right with God. If you're not saved, you're definitely not right with God. But you overcome by the blood of the Lamb. You say, well, how do I get forgiveness of sins? In whom we have redemption, even the forgiveness of sins, by the blood of the Lamb. By the blood of the Lamb, there is forgiveness of sin. By the blood of the Lamb, there is cleansing, as we read, washed by the blood of the Lamb. It is the blood of Christ that cleanses from all sin. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We walk in the light as he is in the light. We have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. So you and I have access to go back and to ask for that forgiveness, not new salvation, not new saving, but just cleansing and forgiveness. So are you washed in his blood? Have you been saved? And are you overcoming by the blood of the Lamb? When Satan crawls on my shoulder and says, you're a sinner, he's right, but he's wrong. He's right, I am a sinner, but he's wrong. As a matter of fact, Satan is called the accuser of the brethren in verse 10. You know how you overcome the accuser of the brethren? The blood of the Lamb. Treg, are you a sinner? You're not a sinner. I'm confusing him. He's a sinner, but he's right. He's not a sinner. Yeah. That's okay. You're right. Don't dig a hole. Don't dig a hole. I'm a sinner, but I'm not a sinner. Because the blood of the Lamb pays for my sin. If you're not saved, you don't have the blood of Christ paying for your sin. I'm a sinner, but I'm declared righteous because he gave me his righteousness and took my sinful account and died on the cross for it. He traded places with me. I don't have self-righteousness. I have Christ's righteousness because of salvation. And when the accuser of the brethren comes and tries to accuse us, technically he's right. But according to God's grace and mercy, he's wrong. Because I've got an advocate, Jesus Christ, who stands up and says, hold on a second, Your Honor. The accuser is right, but the accuser is wrong. Because the accuser is not recognizing the fact that this guilty person traded places with me. And I gave him my righteousness and took his guilt and died in his place. So what I am, according to the song that we like to sing, I am a sinner saved by grace. I am a sinner that has been made clean and forgiven. Not only are you washed, but then think of it this way. Are you sealed in the Lamb's Book of Life? We read Revelation 13:8, the Lamb's Book of Life. In Revelation 20, verse 14 through 15, whosoever was not found written in the Book of Life was cast in the lake of fire. Revelation 21 and verse 27, if they were not found in the Lamb's Book of Life, they were cast into the lake of fire. See, this Lamb is the most important thing in the whole world. Your relationship to the Lamb of God is the most important thing in all the world. What have you done with the Lamb of God? Do you understand the importance of the Lamb? I'm not going to take the time to go back and read it right now. But I will ask you to go to Acts chapter 8, and then I'll stop, and then we'll have our communion service. Acts chapter 8. In Acts chapter 8, the Ethiopian eunuch was reading from Isaiah 53. And the Ethiopian eunuch was reading the account that we read earlier of Isaiah 53 and how that a man was the Lamb of God. And the Ethiopian, as he was reading, God sent Philip out of the blue. God just told Philip, you go hitchhike a ride on that man's chariot. And so Philip obeyed God, and he went down, verse 26. He went from Jerusalem into Gaza in the desert country. and went and found an Ethiopian eunuch, verse 27, important guy from Ethiopia, and he was reading Isaiah, verse 28. And verse 29, the Spirit of God said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to his chariot. So Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? He said, how can I except some man should guide me? He desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this: he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away. Who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Philip said, I'll tell you who the lamb is. It isn't Isaiah. It's Jesus. And he just died on the cross and rose again. And I'll tell you all about him. And he preached Jesus to him. And verse 37, as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And verse 38, he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. I skipped a verse for Tyler's sake. Tyler was asking me the other day, I know you like to use the King James. What's the difference? Well, we were studying baptism. I said, Tyler, I'm going to answer your question in a little bit. So I had him pull out the ESV. And it's a nice ESV Bible, English Standard Version, the NIV, New International Version. Most all the modern versions will do this. And you pull it out, and you got 36 there. And if you're not paying attention, because they never put the numbers over on the side, because that'd be too obvious. So they just make it kind of like a paragraph form, and they just have this little tiny print of a number so that you don't notice that it goes 36, 38. Is 37 important? Well, 37 says, if you believe in Jesus the Lamb, then you can be baptized. And he says, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Is belief important? Belief is the most important thing in that. That's the most important verse in the whole chapter, and it just so happens to be missing. So are you a believer in the Lamb of God? You say, why are there so many churches that are baptizing people rather than seeing them saved? Baptizing babies, baptizing people, sprinkling people. Why are there so many churches that have this messed up, where people think they're going to heaven because they got baptized? I'll tell you why. Because their minister has a Bible that doesn't have verse 37 in it. So if the minister doesn't have verse 37 in it, in his brain, in his heart, then he's not going to teach the people that belief is important, don't you think? And so therefore, there's a bunch of people who think they're going to heaven because they got wet somewhere in a religious place. And guess who wins? The devil. What's the most important thing? Believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Trusting in the Lamb of God. And so then when you trust in the Lamb, and the Ethiopian said, here, I believe. I believe that Jesus is who you said he is. I trust in him. He is the Christ, the Messiah. And then they stopped the chariot and got baptized. And today we baptize someone who already believed. A few weeks ago, we baptized someone who already believed. And hopefully, in the near future, we'll see some more baptized who already believe. But what we won't do is baptize any young people who don't even know what they're doing yet. We won't baptize an adult who doesn't believe. At least we'll try not to. So you have to believe in the Lamb. You have to trust him as your Savior and know that you're on your way to heaven. So tonight, I'm going to go back to where we were in 1 Corinthians 11 and read this passage, and then we'll have our communion service. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I'm going to ask, in just a moment, I'm going to ask for Bob and Jeff and Ron to help me in assisting with this. But in 1 Corinthians 11, again, for I have received the Lord. Paul's just repeating what he got from Jesus, what we get out of the Gospels. Verse 24, and when he had given thanks, he brake it, and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. That's amazing. That's amazing. So what's amazing? Think about what Jesus just did there. He's going to be crushed in a few hours. He's going to be nailed to a cross. He's going to have his back ripped open. He's going to have his head beaten with a crown of thorns. He's going to be so beat up that you won't even recognize him as being Jesus. Okay? And he gives thanks. He stops and gives thanks for that. You know why? Because he knows that this sacrifice will be the result of many's salvation. And he's willing to do it. He thankfully does it. So when he had given thanks, he broke it, the bread, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner, same thing, he took the cup. "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. My blood's going to be shed. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come." That's what we're doing tonight. We are remembering him. We are honoring him. We are taking a good look at him and then taking a good look at ourselves. We're examining ourselves to see if there's something that needs to be made right before we participate tonight. First of all, if there's someone here that's not saved and you need to get saved, say so. Say, "You pastor, I'm not sure I'm saved. I want to talk to someone about salvation." We'll be glad to take you aside and tell you how to be saved. Secondly, "Pastor, I'm saved, but there's just something that's not right." Then I'm going to give us all time to stop and talk to the Lord about it. Maybe it has to do with being baptized and being placed into a local church like you need to be, just be a part of a local assembly. That might be the case. Maybe there's something hidden in a closet that you know, some skeleton in a closet that needs to be made right. Whatever the Lord spoke to you about, you need to talk to him about it. And if it's something that's going to take longer than tonight to get fixed, then just let the plate go by and then immediately get it taken care of so that the next time you can be right with the Lord. Why? Because it says "this do." It doesn't say "this don't." It says "this do." And your desire should always be that you can do this. Let's pray, and we'll take a moment to just let you talk to the Lord as well. Lord, we thank you for time together tonight. We thank you that you were willing to be our Lamb, that you were, from the foundation of the world, already planning and agreeing to be the innocent Lamb that would have to die for the guilty. We see it pictured in the Old Testament animal sacrifices, and we see it as we read about the crucifixion. And we look back on the sacrifice that was made for us, and the way that humankind flippantly treats it, as we always do, so many things that are given to us. Help us to be humbled and right before you. If there's someone amongst us that's not saved, help them to see and understand salvation before they try to participate in something like this. Help them see their need of being saved, because they'll die and go to hell if they're not. If there's someone that has not been baptized in deep water since their salvation, I pray that they would see their need for that very soon. To be a part of a Bible-believing church and to go out warning others of what they need to know about hell and heaven, and witnessing and sharing the gospel, and whatever else you may have spoken to us individually about in our own hearts, that we would be right with you. So, Lord, I ask that you would allow us to examine our hearts, to judge ourselves so that we wouldn't be judged. If nothing else, to at least learn something tonight that will change our direction for the future. And we thank you for opportunity and blessing and privilege to give thanksgiving for your great sacrifice for us. In Jesus' name, amen. I ask the men to come, and I'll ask Bruce to go ahead and shut off the recording.